Welcome to the People's Baptist Hour, heard weekly here on WOTC, winning others to Christ. This service is coming to you from People's Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia, with Pastor Richard Forsyth. We pray that God will use today's message to touch your heart. And if we can be of any help to you spiritually, please call area code 540-434-6554. Now let's join the service.
Good to be saved, isn't it? I ask all of you, I trust every one of you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There's been a time in your life when you understood you were a sinner before God, and you understood that God loved you. And in His love, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, to this earth to die for all sinners. And you have to come to a place where there's a time and a place in your life where you confess before God your sin and ask Him to forgive you, repent and turn from your sin, and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Amen? So I trust that time you have experienced in your life. Been a time and a place when you've been saved and been born again. This is a special day. It is a special day in the life of the church and special day in our lives and in the life of Jay and his family. Amen? Amen. It's always fun and a blessing as well to have Brother Abbott with us and Norma. Amen. Brother Richard Abbott and Norma, what friends they have been to us and to our church, and we're so thankful for them. He's going to come and he's going to preach for us. But what a blessing it is to be together. What a blessing it is for this day. And we trust the Lord will continue to direct us and guide us in what we do. Amen. As People's Baptist Church. People's is a good church. You won't find, I don't believe, any others like it. It's a good church. Is it perfect? No. There are no perfect churches in the world. If you're looking for that, you'll never find it. But this is the closest to it. Amen. So good to have all of you. Brother Abbott's going to come, and he's going to share the message with us. Brother, so good to have you. Amen. Come and share. Lord bless you.
Thank you, brother. Sir, appreciate you. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Can you praise the Lord this morning? God is good all the time. God is good. He's great. I remember as a kid, I grew up in Presbyterian church. And we used to sing that old song, How Good God Is. God is great. God is good. And He is, you know. And as a kid, I thought, well, yeah, okay. Let's move on. There's more to life than that. But then I found out that there's not more to life than that. That God is great. Amen. And God is always good. Amen. And God loves sinners like you and me. He loved us so much. He still loves us. He sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins. Good to have the Deloaches with us. Amen. Backslidden and left the church there in Charlottesville and went on vacation. Man, liberal pastors, yeah, pray for this guy and his dear wife. Now, they're good folks. They've been there a long time. When I was pastoring in Northern Virginia, we supported them when they got started there in Charlottesville. And God is blessing that church in a wonderful way. Turn with me to Psalm 86 this morning. Psalm 86. We're going to talk about servants this morning. The servants. You know, you have a servant-hearted pastor and a servant-hearted youth pastor. I think these two men, and I've grown to know them and to love them, and they both have such servants' hearts. You know, on a recent visit to my doctor, I noticed once, by the way, those visits are becoming more frequent, more than I like. But anyway, I went to the doctor's office and I saw that, you know, that colorful wall chart that shows the body, the parts you can't see, the inside of you. I look at that and say, ooh. But we see the human heart, right? You know, we are amazingly complex creatures. If we could dissect the heart or the inner man each of us is, what would we see? You see, there are no blood vessels or arteries or muscles or valves or chambers in the spiritual heart. However, the heart does contain some things. Now, how can we know what's in there? Psalm 87 reveals the heart of a servant to us by what we read. I just want to jump down to verse 11 and 12 and I'll read the whole psalm. It's our breakfast verses this morning. And he says this, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. For I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore." What does your heart contain? Father, bless now as we read the word, as we preach the word. May Christ Jesus be exalted, and Holy Spirit, may you do your work. We ask in Christ's name. I believe that every servant needs to have a heart of humility. In verse 1, David says this, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy." You know, the Lord is high above us. He says to the Lord, to us, "Bow down your ear. Bow down your ear." You know, humility begins to be real when we realize just who it is we're approaching when we bow our hearts, bow our knees to Almighty God. Who are we talking to? You know, this thing of say a little prayer for me. No, we're talking to the Creator of everything and the one who sent his Son to die for my sins. We're talking directly to him. Amen. Lord, bow down my heart, Lord. Now, I know the Bible tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Yeah, we ought to do that. But you know, God is not a catalog to which we place our orders. He is God Almighty. He's Creator. He's Redeemer. He is holy. He's perfect, righteous, just, pure, and far above His creation. But yet God is loving and compassionate and must be approached with humility. Pride is the great destroyer. The Lord is high above us. The servant is poor. In verse 1, he said, "Hear me, for I'm poor and needy." You know, this is the very beginning of spiritual victory for the lost person and for the child of God as well. When we come to the throne of grace, we must come bringing absolutely nothing of value in and of ourselves because we have nothing of value. Humility sees self in reality. And it recognizes the spiritual poverty to which we have fallen and understands the depravity from which the Master has cleansed us. I've been saved a lot of years, and I can look back my early years before I was saved, and I was rotten, just like all of you. Amen? Rotten to the core. And my life as a believer, and I was saved in 1969, and my life as a believer has not always been what God wants it to be, and I have to go back and say, "Lord, You're so good. You're so merciful. And I'm so poor." God is loving and compassionate. And we're just so poor. Psalm 40 verse 2 says, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and I set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." The very beginning of spiritual victory in our lives is when we realize where we are in the sight of God and who we are. And we bow our hearts to the Lord because He is the Lord. Humility sees me in reality. The servant is poor. We're just servants. You have two. We have more than two servants in this church. We're thinking about your pastors here. You have two servants with servants' hearts, both of them. Pastor Jay, Pastor Forsyth, they're servants in their hearts. Been around them long enough to to see that, to experience that with them. Well, what a blessing you have. Amen. To have them here. Amen. They're a blessing. Sir, we're so needy. You know, we're incapable of supplying our own needs. How tragic to see people that are so physically incapacitated, they can't do anything for themselves, even the simplest of tasks. They can't do it. It's heartbreaking to observe, isn't it? Yet we are all such needy creatures when we come to God. I wonder, do we have humility of heart? We bow our heads in prayer before the Lord. Listen, please understand me. God is not just the catalog that we put our orders into God. And we want to, Lord, I need this. I need this right now. And I'm afraid that there's amongst one school of Christian thought, is all we have to do is ask and He'll give you everything you want. They forget who it is we are approaching. We must come with a heart of humility. It's not, we don't pray because God owes me. I owe Him everything, amen, and so do you. You see, He brought me up also of that horrible pit. Imagine, I think on this every now and then, it saved a lot of years. If I'm not careful, and if you're not careful, I'll take my salvation for granted. Oh yeah, I'm saved. Wait a minute. I'm saved. Born again. I'm not going to hell. My sins have been paid for in full. That's what that means. It's not just, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. No. It means He loves me so much that He paid my sin debt and yours. If we would but just trust Him and call upon Him. Oh, to have a heart of humility. Heart of humility. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I'm poor and I'm needy. And we are needy. In verse 2, we need to have a heart of faith. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. We need to have faith in divine power. You know, God is all power, right? He said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Yeah, He's all power, all right. He is. Jude wrote this, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Amen. Preserved in Jesus Christ and called. David believed in God's preserving ability. You know, I'm well preserved. Did you know that? Amen, I am, brother. I'm not as old as your preacher, though. But he's well preserved, too. Amen.
Amen.
I was looking down here at Jay, and I see some grayness coming in. Yeah, he's well preserved, too. Amen. But if you know Jesus is your Savior, you're preserved forever. Think about that. Just think about that. Preserved. David believed in God's preserving ability. How strong is your faith in God's ability? Do you doubt Him sometimes? Do you wonder what's going on in your life as a believer? Well, know this. God doesn't always give us step-by-step maps so we know exactly what's going to happen next. Personally, I'm thankful for that. But we do know this. Almighty God preserved us. We need to have faith in that, faith in what He has done, what He is doing. We need to have faith in divine sanctification. Notice what He says in verse 2. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. Faith, we need to have faith in God's divine sanctification. God is the one that sanctifies the believer. You know, folks talk about, well, I'm a believer and I'm working hard at it. No, don't work hard at it. Yield your heart to the Lord, child of God. Let Him grow you in your faith. Stop trying to be and to do that which you're unable to be and do. But allow the Holy Spirit to give you those abilities and give you that map, if you please, roadmap for your life. Faith and divine sanctification. Yield to Him. We progressively become more set apart unto God. We entered some years ago into what we call the mature years. Now I'm talking about physical, okay? I'm still about 14 mentally. That's today. Now tomorrow I have no idea what's going to happen, okay? But God has not left us alone, has He? And whatever God has in store for this church and this good pastor and this good pastor and this good congregation, He'll show you. Let Him do that. Amen? Let Him do that. I don't know what's going on tomorrow in my life, but you know what? I'm trusting Him to show me, to guide me, and that's the job of every member of this church, Sarge Say Fellowship Baptist Church. That's your job, one of them. Have faith. Trust the Lord. He's the author. Understand something, that God is the one who makes us who we are if we will just yield to Him. Christians are deemed holy because of Him. And Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. I love the church at Corinth. They're so human, amen? He said, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Have faith in what He's doing in your life. Trust Him. Don't try to be what you think you ought to be. Get in the Word and let God guide you, and He'll make you what He wants you to be. That's what sanctification is. Faith in His promises. Trust His promises. Weak faith causes doubts that Satan exploits. Have you received God's promise of salvation? Amen. Have you? Well, amen. Do you daily rest in those promises for your soul and for your life? Do you rest in those things? You see, a servant's heart is full of strong confidence in God. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but my Lord knows. I don't know what I'm going to be able to do about that, but my Lord knows. I don't know how I'm going to pay that bill, but the Lord knows. And I don't know how I'm going to raise these kids, but the Lord knows. What's our church going to do because of, hey, the Lord knows. He's in charge of all that. Believe Him, trust Him, have faith in His divine promises, divine presence in our lives. That's so important. In verse 3 of this psalm, we need to have a heart of dependence. He said, "Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto Thee daily." Daily. We need to have a heart of dependence, a heartfelt dependence on God. I cry unto Thee. Have you ever, don't have to raise your hand, but have you ever shed tears when you pray? Or has your prayer become a rote series of words that just come out and bounce off the ceiling because you're talking to? Listen, prayer is a heart thing. It's a heart thing. I remember the first prayer I was taught as a kid. You know what it was? And you can quote this with me. Here we go. "Now I lay me down to sleep." Go ahead. "If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord." You don't have to pray that, amen? Now, as a kid, I prayed that, and I thought, well, you know, one day it dawned on me what I was saying. if I should die before I wake, man, I didn't even want to go to sleep. Think about that. If I should die. Well, what if you should die before today's over? You know we're all going to die. Oh, we're going to get negative now, preacher. No, I'm just going to throw this at you. You see, we have a heart of dependence upon what God has said to us. And upon the Holy Spirit of God who indwells every believer. I cry unto thee. It's a heartfelt dependence. It's having a heart that relies upon God. Regardless of what we faith was, good, bad, or ugly, we must depend upon God. Whether life is clear or cloudy, full or lacking, we must rely upon God. Paul found that principle of contentment and it ruled his life. Philippians 4:11. He learned to trust God in whatsoever things. Whatsoever. Whatsoever. Think about that. To be content means to be settled in what God is doing. Amen. Now this church is a great church. And God has blessed this church. He's going to continue to bless this church. And you say, well, we've had good leadership. No, God has been here and is here, and the Holy Spirit is leading. There's the key.
Amen.
It's not in this man. And he'll be the first to admit it. It's not going to be in this man. It's in God. God is the one. He's in charge. And we must have a heart of dependence. Lord, we can do all these things. And we can have all these programs. And we can give away this, that, and the other. But wait a minute. If God's not in charge, it'll fail. God wants to be in charge of you and of this church. And he wants us to understand we have a heart of dependence. Today's Christians like this. To be content means to be settled with what God's doing, right? But today's Christians, but I wanted a yellow balloon. Not a red one. I want a bigger income. I want an easier lifestyle. But I want a bigger piece of pie. Well, that's me. Wait a minute. What's God doing in your life right now? What does he want to do in your life if we allow him? If we'll just say, okay, I'm going to get out of your way, Lord. And I'm going to step aside. I'm not going to get out of your will, Lord. Don't let me do that. But I want to get out of your way. And Lord, you lead me and help me to be totally focused on what you want. Because I'm dependent upon you. Heart of dependence. It's a continuous dependence. He said, for I cry unto thee daily in verse 3. David's dependence was not circumstance driven. I think David was a lot like Daniel in his daily walk with God. And too often even believers cry out to God only when it's an emergency or during some trial of some kind. Wait. Keep our hearts right with God and allow him to be in charge of what's going on. And then it's just every day, I got to start my day. Okay, Lord, you're in charge. I'm going to follow you. Daniel, the Old Testament, walked with God daily, didn't he? Let us cultivate a daily reliance upon the one that loves us, gave himself for us, and gives us the promise of never leaving us or forsaking us. Hebrews 13:5, he says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Boy, I love that. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 4 of our text. He says, rejoice the soul of my servant, of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. This is a personal walk. Let me ask you a personal question. Are you walking with the Lord? See, he wants to walk with us. Are you yielding to the Holy Spirit in everything? Because He wants to walk with us. He says so. I want to walk with you. I want to be in charge of what's going on. I want to be involved with your personal walk. Now we look at the world and we sadly observe the feverish rush to have material things and wealth and position and recognition. We shake our heads at the folly of all that. You know, the old saying, at a funeral of a millionaire, well, how much money did he leave behind? Yeah, well, he left it all. Amen. And that's what we're going to do. We'll leave it all. Norm and I live on a vast farm now. 3.5 acres. We got a garden. We got 4 tomato plants. Whew. 2 of them are volunteers from last year. Thank you, Lord, as I like tomatoes. Amen. I said, why should we plant them when they come up by themselves? Thank you, Lord, you know. We got views of mountains all around. I mean, wow. It's all the Lord's. Not mine. It's His. It's His. It's important we understand that. Lord, you blessed us. And I want to commune with you. Yeah, I want to have a heart of boldness. Verse 6 and 7. He says, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication. The day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Yeah, I need boldness. A bold Christian practices communing with God, knowing he has access freely through Jesus Christ. Freedom to commune, not freedom to demand or take advantage of God. But we have the freedom to commune with God, to walk with God, and He'll walk with us and He'll guide us. The Bible says so. We must trust Him and believe Him. Boldness to anticipate an answer. Notice verse 7. He said, for thou wilt answer me. Amen. How many here pray every day? Amen. How many pray about something specifically every day? Amen. How many are still praying for the same thing you prayed for yesterday? How many think you'll probably pray for it again tomorrow? Oh, ye of little faith. Amen. No. Yeah, well, yeah. He says, ask. Come to me. Bring it to me. And quite often he says, you can ask because I tell you to. Now I'm also telling you to wait on me. And I'll show you great and mighty things. Whew. Not just little things. Great and mighty things. Now, the psalmist knew that when he went to the Lord in prayer. God will answer that. He always does. Amen. In verse 8 of our text, we need to have not only a heart of boldness, not making demands, just coming to God, but we need to have a heart of fear. Look at verse 8. He says, among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Approach God with a heart of boldness, yes, but a heart of fear. Not that we fear God is going to strike us down or something like that. But fear is that reverential awe and respect we should have for Almighty God, our Creator and our Savior. And our sin nature limited minds and hearts can't find it difficult to grasp that. But that's the truth from God's Word. And as we come to Him and pray, we just accept who He is, what He has said He will do for us. There's none like Him. How well do you know God? How well do you know Him? Let us meditate on those thoughts for just a couple of minutes. Verse 10, for thou art great and doest wondrous things, and thou art God alone. David had an intimate understanding of who God is. David's walk with God was not a casual thing. It was extremely personal. Personal. He knew God well. Who he is, that there is none else. David would not accept the religious nonsense that the ecumenical, politically correct world's throwing at us today. You know, we don't want to offend anybody. Well, I'll have to tell you this. This world is an offense in the nostrils of a thrice holy God. What this nation and this world is doing to a holy God, it's amazing the patience and the mercy of the Creator God that we serve. Think about that as we see what's happening in our world today. The writer of this psalm knew God better than to mix and match with false gods. And so we should know who it is we're serving and not offend him by our practices. Then we see his walk with God in verse 11. His walk with God. He says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." David possess something that is lacking in many lives, and that's the fear of God. Fearing God. Be careful as we reverently approach God, to reverently seek Him, to reverently worship Him, serve, and walk with Him. This old flesh nature doesn't like to be called to humility or submission to anything, right? I have this thing in me. And you've got it too. I've got maybe a double portion. I got too much personal pride. How about you? I think way too highly of me. And that gets me in trouble with the Lord. And we must understand what this psalmist was saying. To have reverence. He says, "Unite my heart to fear thy name." How are you doing? How are y'all doing? Think about this. Verse 12 is the conclusion of this message, as we see the heart full of praise that the psalmist has. He said, "I'll praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever." David possessed something that's lacking in lives today. That's the fear of God, understanding who God is. Be careful that we approach him as David did. Amazing, amazing. "I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify thy name forevermore." If ever there was a people who had reason to praise God, it's the blood-bought, Bible-believing saints of God. We have a multitude of reasons to praise God, to serve God, to yield to God, to allow Him to have us. Now we opened David's heart and we saw some things of a servant. And you have two servants here. I'll call them the lead servants. Amen. You got this good pastor over. He's my friend. Amen. I could tell you some things about him, but he wouldn't want me to because it would make him blush. He's got, it's not a false pride, but this man is a blessing to us, to me, my wife, and our family. And then you have this young upstart over here. This whippersnapper, amen. Anybody knows what a whippersnapper is? Nobody knows what a whippersnapper is? Okay, thank you. Thank you. The old people know what it is. Anyway, yeah. He's a blessing, amen? And God threw away the mold on that one, didn't he? Amen? He's special. And you know, God has blessed and will bless as you allow the Holy Spirit and God to put all this, these two servants as they serve together. They've been serving together for, 50, 60 years now? It just seems like it, Jay, right? Yeah. The blessing, the cooperation, the mindset, the heart set, the yieldedness to the Holy Spirit of God and to the ministry that God has called them to. It's there. Church, you're blessed. Amen. Beyond measure. Oh, I know that. Okay, get behind them, pray, encourage them. Work with them, amen. Yield to the Holy Spirit as He leads them. And let God get the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to serve you through the Word, to preach your Word, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the blessings of this ministry here. I ask your hand upon it in a special way. Lord, only you know, and you do know, what you're going to do here. We can only see what you've done, and Lord, you've blessed mightily, and we thank you for that. And Father, there's a little change going on now. And I pray that as we believe you're in it, you would show yourself strong in what's going to happen, that you keep Satan far away because he's wanting to defeat, obviously. He always does. But Lord, may you have your way and your will done here. Give them the victory they need. Give Brother Jay, Brother Forsyth, give them insight and direction and guidance through the Word and through the Holy Spirit, as you have for all these many years. And Lord, until Jesus comes, may you use this church in a great way. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.
We trust that God used today's message to work in your life. If you are unsure of where you'll spend eternity, don't let another day go by without getting the answer. If we can be of spiritual help, please call area code 540-434-6554.